Satya vratam satya param tri satyam. Satyasya yonim nihitam cha satye. Satyasya satyam vita satya netaram. Satyatmakam tvam sharanam prapannaha. Translation and purport continuing by Srila Prabhupada. The demigods prayed, O Lord, you never deviate from your vow, which is always perfect, because whatever you decide is perfectly correct and cannot be stopped by anyone. Being present in the three phases of cosmic manifestation, creation, maintenance, and annihilation, you are the supreme truth. Indeed, unless one is completely truthful, one cannot achieve your favor, which therefore cannot be achieved by hypocrites. You are the active principle, the real truth, in all the ingredients of creation. And therefore you are known as Antaryami, the inner force. You are equal to everyone, and your instructions apply for everyone, for all time. You are the beginning of all truth. Therefore, offering our obeisances, we surrender unto you. Kindly give us protection. Continuing in the purport, the Lord demands that one surrenders unto him. Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. I think I read this. Right? Anyway, read it again. And he further says, Sakrideva papano yas, tavasmiti chayachate, abayam savrda tasmai, dadami etad vratam mama. If one surrenders unto me sincerely, saying, My Lord, from this day I am fully surrendered unto you, I always give him protection. That is my vow, Ramayana. The demigods offered their prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he had now appeared in the womb of his devotee, Devaki, to protect all the devotees harassed by Kamsa and his lieutenants. Thus the Lord acts as Satyavrata. The protection given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared to the protection given by the demigods. It is said that Ravana was a great devotee of Lord Shiva, but when Lord Ramachandra went to kill him, Lord Shiva could not give him protection. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, accompanied by great sages like Narada and followed by many other demigods, had now invisibly appeared in the house of Kamsa. They began to pray for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in select prayers, which are very pleasing to the devotees and which award fulfillment of devotional desires. The first words they spoke acclaimed that the Lord is true to his vow. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna descends upon this material world just to protect the pious and destroy the impious. That is his vow. The demigods could understand that the Lord had taken his residence within the womb of Devaki to fulfill his vow. They were very glad that the Lord was appearing to fulfill his mission, and they addressed him as Satyam Param, or the Supreme Absolute Truth. Everyone is searching after the truth. That is a philosophical way of life. The demigods give information that the Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. One who becomes fully Krishna conscious, can attain the Absolute Truth. Krishna is the Absolute Truth. Relative truth is not truth in the three phases of eternal time. Time is divided into past, present, and future. Krishna is truth always, past, present, and future. In the material world, everything is being controlled by supreme time. In the course of past, present, and future. But before the creation, Krishna was existing. Well, send them away.
Okay, you can come tomorrow for the class.
Who's that? Who's that?
No, no matter who.
Let him in.
No.
No, let him in.
It's nonsense, you know. Class is going on. They're coming half an hour later instead of coming in.
There's no water over there.
So what? Go by the radical.
If there is no truth within this material world, it emanates. If there is any truth within this material world, it emanates from the Supreme Truth, Krishna. If there is any opulence within this material world, the cause of the opulence is Krishna. If there is any reputation within this material world, the cause of the reputation is Krishna. If there is any strength within this material world, Haribol, the cause of such strength is Krishna. If there is any wisdom and education within this material world, the cause of such wisdom and education is Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the source of all relative truths. This is the basis of our devotional understanding that sets us apart from and gives us a much superior outlook than the impersonalists. Everything that exists is real, but it doesn't exist separately from the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Supreme Absolute Truth is Krishna. The demigods, knowing this, are coming to offer their respects to Krishna even before he's taken his birth. And they're saying these words. The two words being commented on in what we're reading today is Satyavrata, and then Satyaparam Tri Satyam, like that. Satyavrata is always true to his vow. Some may say that Krishna's a liar, but actually he fulfills all his promises. He just has sometimes peculiar roundabout ways of fulfilling his promises. He seems to put his devotees into anxiety. He seems to not fulfill what his promise. He seems that he left Vrindavan and never came back, but it's not really the fact. He did come back, he never left it. In his Aprakrita Lila, Krishna never leaves. And even when he plunges his devotees into the torment of separation, of viraha, that is not pain, that is ecstasy. And there is no real separation of the pure devotee from Krishna. The physical presence is just external. This is the secret of the Gaudiya Sampradaya, of our Sampradaya, which you do not find so much elsewhere, that the real ecstasy of relationship, of love, loving relationship with Krishna, the most intensity of that is found in separation, in viraha, not in sambhoga. The whole mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that of viraha seva. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself, but he's experiencing separation from Krishna. So how is it appropriate that the devotees of Lord Chaitanya try to enjoy Krishna in the mood of sambhoga? It's not appropriate. We are the devotees, servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's thinking separation. So how can we think, oh, I have Krishna, I'm enjoying him? It's not appropriate. It's not the proper mood. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya should also predominantly follow the mood of separation. We should not demand sambhoga. Krishna gives happiness to his devotees in separation, in joining and in separation. But a very pure surrendered devotee doesn't care for the bhoga. We get enough bhoga, it's coming out of our ears. Devotees don't have to worry about where will they get prasadam. They have so much prasadam, they're worried that there's too much. The problem in Mayapur was not enough prasadam. The problem was too much prasadam. Yeah. Always. This is how in Mayapur Lord Chaitanya is manifesting his opulence. Even in Govardhan. There may not be enough electricity, but there's always enough to eat. Nobody's hungry in Govardhan. They may be sitting in the dark, but you're not hungry. Yeah. You may have no water to take a shower, but you're not hungry. Krishna told Madhavendrapuri, nobody goes hungry in this village. So this is fact. This is Krishna's vow, Satyavrata. Krishna doesn't lie. Okay. I read more of the purport. Devotees, therefore, following in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, pray, Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Worshipping the Adi Purusha, the Supreme Truth, Govinda. Everything everywhere is performed in terms of three principles, Jnana Bolo Kriya, knowledge, strength, and activity. You have to have all three to do anything. If you have no knowledge, you won't know what to do. You may be mighty. You may have arms of steel. And you may be very active. But if you have no intelligence, you won't know what to do. You may be powerful, but if you're blind, then how can you accomplish anything? You can't even identify your enemies. You're so stupid. You don't even know who your friends and enemies are. You just beat up anybody. Then you accomplish nothing. Then you're a fool. So to accomplish anything, you have to have all three. Don't talk. Knowledge, strength, and activity. You may have knowledge and strength, but if you don't do anything, if you don't use your knowledge and your strength, if you just sit there, then what's the use of your knowledge and strength? You know, everyone can take photographs of your big muscles. What are you using them for? You know, and your big brain, you can show your certificates of all the upadhis you have. But what are you using your knowledge for? So activity must be there. Practical service. All three. Knowledge, strength, and activity. That makes a complete life. Then you can accomplish something. In every field, Prabhupada continues. In every field, if there is not full knowledge, full strength, and full activity, an endeavor is not successful. Therefore, Gormohan, can you please get the door? Therefore, if one wants success in everything, one must be backed up by these three principles. In the Vedas, Shvetashvatara Upanishad 6.8, there is this statement about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Upanishads do talk about the personality of Godhead, not just impersonal Brahman. You have to know which Upanishads, which parts to look at. But there's plenty of information about the personal form of God. And so thus the Shvetashvatara Upanishad says, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natatsamascha vyadikascha drishyate, parasya shaktir vividaiva shruyate, svabhaviki gyanabala kriyacha. The Supreme Personality of Godhead does not need to do anything personally, for he has such potencies that anything he wants done will be done perfectly well through the control of material nature. Svabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha. Similarly, those who are engaged in the service of the Lord are not meant to struggle for existence. The devotees who are fully engaged in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, more than 10,000 men and women all over the world, have no steady or permanent occupation. Yet we actually see that they are maintained very opulently. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas chintayanto mam ye janat paryupasate tesham nityabhi yuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. For those who worship me with devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I carry to them what they lack and preserve what they have. The devotees have no anxiety over what will happen next, where they will stay, or what they will eat. For everything is maintained and supplied by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has promised, Konteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati, O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. From all angles of vision, therefore, in all circumstances, if one fully surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, There is no question of one's struggling for existence. In this connection, the commentary by Sripad Madhvacharya, who quotes from the Tantra Bhagavat, is very meaningful. Madhvacharya quotes Tantra Bhagavat. Satchabdya uttamam bruyat anandanti ti vaivadet yeti gyanam samuddhishtam purnananda drishish tataha atvitvat chatadadhana satyat yachochyate vibhuhu. Explaining the word satyasya yonim, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this Tantra Bhagavat is actually an ancient tantra that's a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And we photographed a copy of it from the Asiatic Society in Calcutta, but the film was ruined, so we don't have a copy of it now. But it's sitting there. It's a rare book, but there is a copy in Calcutta. Tantra Bhagavat. It's not published, right? We don't have it, okay. You sure? Okay. Explaining the word Satyasya Yonim, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that Krishna is the avatari, the origin of all incarnations. All incarnations are the absolute truth, yet the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. Deep archird evahi disham taram abhyupetya dipayate. Brahma Samhita. There may be many lamps, all equal in power, yet there is a first lamp, a second lamp, a third lamp, and so on. Similarly, there are many incarnations who are compared to lamps. But the original personality of Godhead is Krishna. Govindamadi purusham tamahom bhajami. The demigods must offer worship and obedience to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But one might argue that since the Supreme Godhead was within the womb of Devaki, he was also coming in a material body. Then why should he be worshipped? Why should one make a distinction between an ordinary living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? These questions are answered in the following verses. So we make a big point over the fact that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. They're not all, they are all the same, but there's variety even within God. This is a mystery. God is one without a second, nirvishesha. What's the difference between Narayan and Krishna? It's God. God is God. There's only one God. So what's the difference between Narayan and Krishna? But there is vishesha. There is no beta, but there is vishesha. There is no difference, but there is a variety. The same one thing can have variety. It's not form. It's not empty of variety. Something that has no variety is nothing. So it may not be. It may only be one, but it's still the absolute truth contains so much variety. And the variety includes variety among different forms of God. God has multiple personality. He has many sides of his personality. Krishna has his expansions for his own pleasure and for the pleasure of his devotees. Krishna likes to be Narayan also. It's part of his game, his sport. He plays games. One of his games is to sit on the throne of Vaikuntha with Lakshmi fanning him. All the devotees bowing down and offering prayers to him. He enjoys that game, just like Krishna with the cowherd boys plays being a king. So he plays big time. You know, he takes the whole kingdom of Vaikuntha and makes it his playground. You know, with all the Vaikunthavasis, you know, being his servants. It's a game. Vilas. This is Vilas expansion. Narayan is the Vilas Prakash of Krishna. Vilas means a game. So it's a big game that Krishna plays, to be Narayan. And to be Korma, to be a turtle, to be a fish, a lion, a pig. These are his games. And he enjoys it, but especially he does it because he has devotees who want to see him like this. There are the devotees of Lord Boar, devotees of Lord Tortoise, Lord Fish. He has special devotees. So he goes and expands himself in all these forms. Swechamayasya natubhutamayasya kopi, Brahma says. You are different incarnations, avatars, are not bhutamaya. They're not creation of material nature. They are swechamaya. You can say swechamaya means that yadrichaya, according to your own desire, swecha, you manifest these forms. But actually, our Jiva Goswami Vishwanath Chakravarti explained, swa means your devotee, swabhakta. Swabhaktasya ichaya eva. By the desire of your devotee, you reciprocate with their desire by appearing in the form they want. Devotees of Mathura are praying to Krishna, please leave Vrindavan and come here. So he has to come. Devaki and Vasudeva are in anxiety. They want to see Krishna. They want Krishna to save him. So Krishna has to go with Akura to Mathura and to save Devaki and Vasudeva. Because of the desire of his devotees, Krishna expands himself into different forms. This is the variety of God. He is Satyasya Yonim, the origin of all this variety, spiritual variety and material variety. The demigods are honoring Krishna, that he's that. He's the origin of all opulence and variety. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai. Arriba.